Texas acts. Remember them? I think they were from Florida or close by. Knockdown, drag out, rock and roll party in the streets.
Governor Bush, Governor Bush, Governor Bush, Governor Bush.
12 million illegal immigrants to send them back, 500,000 a month, is just not possible. And it's not embracing American values. And it would tear communities apart. And it would send a signal that we're not the kind of country that I know America is. What we need to do is allow people to earn legal status where they pay a fine. Pay a fine. Pay a fine. Where they work, where they don't commit crimes, where they learn English, and over an extended period of time, they earn legal status. That's the path, a proper path to make this work.
There's some Crosby and Nash, David Crosby, Graham Nash, Young, Stills, not on this one. Love it. Immigration Man, Dusty.
Here I was at the immigration scene, shining and feeling clean. Could it be a sin? I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can. Let me in. Stay another day, let me in. Immigration man, I won't tow your line today. I can't see it anyway. There he was with his immigration face, giving me chase, but the sun was coming, 'cause all it was, it looked into my space, stamped a number over my face, and it sent me running. Won't you let me in, immigration man? Can I cross the line and pray I can stay another day? My immigration form is big enough to keep me warm when a cold wind's coming. So go where you will, as long as you think you can. You better watch out for the man.
Sounds so good.
Anywhere you're going, come on and let me in.
Who's your favorite, Crosby, Stills, Nash, or Young? Let me know on the AccU. I'll tell everybody later.
Take your fingers from the train.
A lot of people say Crosby was the secret to their
imitation
success of the sound.
I won't tell you.
Father of Melissa Etheridge's baby, right?
Anyway.
Graham and Joni were in love. Oh, they all loved Graham back then. And those guys helped out at Occupy, too. Love them. Love you guys, too. Glad you're here. Busy, hectic here, pressing a lot of buttons, nervous.
Give me two squadrons of bombers, 2,000-pound bombs, round-the-clock saturation bombing of Arizona.
Fred, you can't bomb Arizona.
What are you talking about? My bombers can hit any place on the face of this globe.
But Arizona is part of the United States.
A little low-level scraping, perhaps, eh?
I had this left over from Halloween. Sometimes you do those special shows and you get done and you look at your stack and you realize, God, I didn't play that. I love this. The theme from Dark Shadows on the Dusty Show. Love this.
Thank you.
It's the Robert Cobert. Robert Cobert. Two Ertz. Robert Cobert Orchestra. Well, he got right at the scary, didn't he?
Down there flat and silver, and you can see the crumpled trash and the rusted culvert. You can see it, and then a split second before the rubber of your tires leaves the gravel, and you go into that horrible spin, cylindrical 360 pitch and yaw, Kent and camber, Omaha, Epley Airfield, Carter Lake. Then you take Interstate 80 to Lewis, or Messina, or Casey, or Adair, or Villisca.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about your own stomping grounds. They've got their own sweet old hometown memories.
Dolphin.
Yeah.
Has
by now he's in deepest waters.
The waters,
yes,
are cold.
He'll head home soon enough.
The dolphin is afraid.
Afraid, afraid, the dolphin is afraid.
And why shouldn't he be?
There are terrors in the deep. His blowhole might be obstructed or infected. Off to sea there.
Off to sea there's with him. And all
the dolphin.
Intelligent creatures, but he was not a
he was a dumb dolphin.
He was a dumb dolphin. No one thinks of a dolphin being dumb, but this one was.
And I know because
I used to be the dolphin's trainer at Marineland.
Go, Sunstar.
Years ago.
Perform. Good.
I love you, Sunstar.
Sunstar the dolphin.
He was good-natured.
He was a jolly dolphin.
He was jolly.
Yes, some dolphins are playful.
Some dolphins are moody or randy.
Yes, but Sunstar.
Sunstar's mood was generally jolly.
Yes, how he loved to eat his broccoli.
Yes, Sunstar loved to eat his broccoli.
Yes, Sunstar, so sweet and plump.
I think he has to take a dumpster
ride to the cat food factory.
In a dumpster loaded onto a flatbed truck, old Sunstar's life would certainly suck. But perhaps after he dies, Sunstar would find peace
on the other side.
On the other side.
This is called Rail Cars. It's something I found in the dollar bin. Oh, jeez, I hope Rail Cars isn't listed. Cathedral with No Eyes. Really cool, though. What kind of music is this? I don't know. I depend on the listeners to tell me these genres and niches and boxes that music is crammed into, because it must be described.
Wow.
I found this record at my mechanics. He passed away too. Rest in peace, Gus. Sudden motorcycle death. You gotta watch those things. They're just shocking. But his friend Elaine, there at ZP Auto, had a little thrift shop, a boutique hooked onto the mechanics garage, and I was shuffling through there. And I found this Garden of Delights on Elektra. I think it's maybe one album of a trio of albums. And this is the new Seekers I found. I love this. Covering the Moves, Blackberry Way. On the Dusty Show, Clay Pigeon with you, 16 minutes after 6. We've got plenty of time.
Goodbye, Blackberry Way.
Dr. Dante has been on the Dusty Show for a long time. This old, if you collect records, it's sure not unusual to come across a hypnotism album or a weight loss album. There's some great ones. This is Dr. Dante, just a little excerpt of his hypnotic weight loss technique, Dr. Dante.
In a few moments when I have you open your eyes, you will be so proud of yourself, because for a period of over 15 minutes, you have hardly moved a muscle in your body, a feat that would normally be impossible to do unless you were in the scientific state of relaxed, positive mental control. And you should be very proud of yourself, because you have this wonderful control that you are not aware of. And the more times you listen to the sound of my voice, the more control you will have. You will eliminate eating starchy foods such as potatoes, bread, and spaghetti. You will not drink any fattening alcoholic beverages or carbonated drinks. In a few moments when I have you open your eyes, you will not want to eat any fattening vegetables such as corn or beans, or have any rich desserts like ice cream or pie. Life can be very beautiful through positive mental control. Once you master the simple art of positive mental control, you will see how many emotional problems will disappear. Every day that you listen to me, you automatically develop more and more control. Remember to keep this record free from scratches by carefully handling and not lending it out. Now, when I count to three, you will be wide awake. You'll feel full of energy, full of vim, vigor, and vitality, and so proud of yourself for the wonderful control that you are now displaying. And because of that, it will be the beginning of some of the happiest and most exciting days in your life. All right now. One. Your body's getting lighter and lighter, back to normal. Two. Awakening more and more. Three. Open your eyes and wide awake.
I heard Fabio talking about Lou Reed before we started the Dusty Show tonight. Reminded me of this one. Actually, I brought it in. Brownsville Station's version of Sweet Jane. Dusty.
Standing on the corner with a suitcase in my hand. Jane is in a corset and me, I'm in a rock and roll band. Now people, don't you know that those were different times when the poets, they all wrote their verse, and the women, they just rolled their eyes. Sweet Jane, Sweet Jane, Sweet Jane. Now some people like to go out dancing, and other people they gotta work. There are even some people, oh, who tell you life is just dirt. Now women never really faint, and the villains they always blink their eyes, and children are there.
I think out in the Midwest, we initially got this song from Mott the Hoople, kind of in a backhanded way. A lot of us knew more about them than Lou Reed, sadly. But I love Brownsville Station. Something honest about them. Cub Coda, the late great. Sounds like Mike Lutz is still singing in this version, but this is from the Yeah LP. Brownsville Station, one of Stephen King's favorite bands. I'm not quite done talking. Gonna bring up some instrumental music and just talk with you for a second. I have all these segments. I'm just choosing between them, but then trying to keep up with the Aki playlist, that's not easy. 23 after 6, the TNP is on its way tonight. Gosh, this week rolled around fast. The Thursday night package, which of course features Hardy White, coming up at the top of the hour with Miracle Nutrition. Kevin Nutt, Sinner's Crossroads, Dave the Spaz, nickname Stan. This is Chick Corea in the background from 1971, the ECM label, Piano Improvisations, Volume 1, Picture 1. I was going through my comps and I hadn't seen this one for a while. And I want to acknowledge the death of Phil Taylor of Motorhead and Alan Toussaint, a couple of our musicians who gave us a lot of joy in their lifetimes. Different approaches, for sure, but I was sad to hear that about both those guys. I know Diane Kamikaze played a lot of Motorhead. I thought I'd dig a little deeper on this Metal Battle album, Roadrunner Records, 1983. I look through all, listen to this lineup: Raven, Anvil, Battle Axe, Merciful Fate, Tank, Venom, Jaguar, Witchfind, Hellenbach, Satan. And then this last track, I always like to check the last track. Sometimes it's the one that doesn't quite fit. The group was called Santers, and their song is Racing Time on the Dusty Show. Santers, Racing Time. I'm glad you're out there. Sweek says he likes it when he says he's getting pumped up now, Racing Time. Do you know this, Sweek? You'd heard of it before? Fredericks thought the Brownsville sounded like John Cougar doing Lou Reed. That makes sense.
Chips Ahoy cookies and some potato chips.
Oh, I got one organization to help you.
I do a radio show.
You see, we're in
a homeless
shelter. We need someone to talk about how they treat us in the shelter.
What's going on with that?
Okay, I'm 18. I'm in a homeless shelter, and we have to leave. We have to leave the shelter at 9 a.m. and we can't come back till 8 o'clock at night. So we have nowhere to go all day. They don't give us breakfast. Only thing they give us to eat, they be trying to give us bread. They won't let us eat when we're hungry. Like, they lock the bathroom.
You can't go to street with 27.
They're horrible shelters. and someone needs to do something about it.
Are your parents around?
No, I have an order of protection on my father, so I can't go back home. But they don't care. They don't try to help us find housing or anything. And even if you have a job, they still won't help us.
You just can't make enough money. It's expensive.
Yes, because you need to save up. You have to save up money first before you can get an apartment. And then they don't want to help us because we're 18. And they say, oh, you can't get a lease till you're 21. But the shelter kicks you out when you're 21. And mind you, the shelters we're in are only for 30 days. So we have 30 days and then they kick you out. Like, I want to go to college and stuff, but they don't really help you with school because they say you have to be 18 for them to sign you in school.
But you said you're 18.
Yeah, I just turned 18. But when I was 17 in the shelter, they wouldn't help me with school.
Are you hopeful for the future despite all of this?
Like, I'm going to try, but someone needs to do something about shelters and just make them accountable for us. You know, like, they need new regulations that have rules that they have to abide by.
And the most important ones you want to see new rules are?
They help us with housing, permanent housing. They allow us to work, and they help us get all the assistance we can get. And they give us food. They don't give us food. Like, they always like, oh, you're not allowed to eat right now. You can't eat. And then the portions are small. Like, they give you one plate. Like, yesterday we had noodles with pasta sauce. That was it.
That's it.
That's it.
Also, we are not allowed to defend ourselves. So if we are attacked by anyone, we automatically get discharged, even if we don't hit them or anything.
Inside or outside the shelter?
Yes. Yeah. We get discharged, even if the person hits us and we don't hit them. It's automatically discharged, and we're homeless.
Can I ask your age?
I'm 19.
And you live in the shelter?
Yes.
How long have you been homeless?
I've been homeless for 6 months.
What happened?
My parents got mad at me because I am bisexual and they are Christians.
So they forced you out of the house?
Yes.
Are you going to figure it out though? You seem like your spirit is strong.
Yeah, I mean, we still have like resources and stuff. It's just very hard. Like there's a lot of qualifications. Like we have to have a job, but they don't realize being homeless, it's hard for us to get clothing and stuff. So we can't come prepared for work all the time. And then we have curfews, so we can't work all the time. It's just like really hard. When I first became homeless, I was at like a state of depression. Like everything felt like it was crashing down. But then I realized that a lot of people that walk around us that we don't even know is homeless. There's like millions of homeless people and we wouldn't even know it. So there's more of us and we're more supportive and we're not judgmental because we're all going through the same situation.
Homeless.
Being homeless is a humbling experience. You have to learn to be humble. You have to be able to break your pride. Like there's a lot of things that we have to do that regular people wouldn't do. Like we ask for money on the train. We have to ask random people for money. Most people wouldn't do that because they have pride. But when you're homeless, you can't have pride. You can't have dignity. You can't have
Where's
that stuff.
Where's your parents?
My parents live in Atlanta, and my mom lives in New York. They're living luxurious lives, and they know that I'm homeless, and they don't really care. So
make you sad?
I mean, yeah, but I've kind of got to the point where I see my friends more as my family and the people that I encounter in my life more as family than my actual family. It's just the way you look at it.
I appreciate your time.
No problem.
Thank you. Good King Paul
was a fine king. I kissed his ring
and crossed his moat.
I put an arrow in his throat. Good King Paul is dead, and the kingdom weeps, and his lady keeps a lock of his hair.
She keeps a lock of his hair
in an envelope deep in the metal drawer. There it will lie
for a long time.
Lord knows how we'll get by without King Paul. How will we get by? How will we get by?
by Cranky I'm ready to shine alone. Ready to shine the light on things.
You heading out, Pop? Can you sit just for a minute and visit with us? He's excited. He's practically running over to the mic. How you doing, man?
Hello. Oh, these headphones stink.
I told you. Man. Even these.
I got to get rid of these.
Yeah.
They're really irritating.
And the other ones aren't any better.
No, there's none there.
They
okay,
just get,
well,
what
I'll
happens?
Live with it.
They get the guests come in and they're excited. Just beating them around.
Yeah, I don't know what they do to them, but man, they're really harsh. Let me try these. So what do you got? What's happening? What's
not,
up?
I just I'm bringing you in on a in relief, like a salvage mission.
Like a pinch hitter.
Yeah, I'm not clapping and singing along. They're starting to say, "Are you going to take calls, Clay?" That's when you know they're getting antsy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Is anything going
like
to happen
wanna bail.
At
like
all?
They want to bail like pretty fast, right? Yeah. You're getting that feeling, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit. Mm. We would take one call, but that's it right now. One call in the next 30 seconds. 201-209-9368. Here's your window, 201-209-9368. Fabio's here. You could make it happen.
I can only hear in mono out of one ear.
It's the
other ear.
Disconcerting,
is like,
isn't it?
It's weird. It's like I'm deaf in one ear or something. It's really bizarre.
Wow.
Oh well, yeah. We got to get new headphones. We need a lot of new gear here. You know. It's good that people like threw us some money, you know, in the last month because things are falling apart.
Fabio, I'm going to get right back to the show here. What's your message of peace and love today to our listeners?
Don't be swayed by, you know, mainstream media.
Did you watch the debate?
Not the recent one. No, I couldn't.
Yeah,
I just couldn't.
Couldn't stomach it.
No.
Yeah. I watch
those guys really creep me out. I can't stand them.
No calls, Bob. So we're going to let that
really?
Go. Yeah, none.
You want me to try?
Nope, that's okay. you think they'll light up a few and
well,
it.
I could try, you know. I mean, who knows? Okay. 201-209-9368 is the number to call. Talk to Clay Pigeon directly. If you're a fan of the show, I think he needs you to call right now. I mean, he really needs you to call.
You sound raspy. Have you been at a protest or did you go to a hockey game?
No, I just finished a show, you know.
Oh, yeah. And we're drying up, basically. That's what happened. We're drying up, man.
Yeah.
I see your alligator skin on the back of your arms.
Huh? What? What are you talking about?
Just that crisscross.
Getting a call there? No.
No. See?
No. That's it. Yeah. I couldn't bring
even
them in.
You.
Even
Bob.
I couldn't bring
I'm going to. This next one will really, really get them.
Okay.
Let's do the ramp together.
All right. What is this?
This is.
Is this like Star Castle or something?
Okay, we got to
call.
We
got to call. Okay,
yeah,
oh,
last second. Is anybody there?
Hello?
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up? Why'd you call?
This is Terrence in Cold Spring, New York.
Cold Spring?
Yeah.
Where is that Cold Spring?
That's
it's
across
by
the river from
Tarrytown.
West Point.
It's near West Point.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool. So, what's happening up there?
I don't know. Nothing much. I'm in my kitchen working on a painting.
Oh, you're a painter.
What are you painting?
Yeah, I'm a painter.
Self-portrait?
No, I can't stand. my 17-year-old daughter loves self-portraits.
Yeah.
I can't stand the look of myself.
Uh-huh. Teenagers love to look at themselves.
Oh, my God. My kid's obsessed.
They're all obsessed with that.
What about the state of the world, man? What do you think in a nutshell, quickly? Are you pleased? Are you concerned? Are you hopeful?
I could be fake. Philosophical and deep, and say it is what it is, and
yeah,
ever will be. But
what's your message of peace and love?
As anybody else, you know.
Good.
But I don't have a message. Sorry.
Is it snowing up there by you?
Oh, gee, yeah, all the time in the world.
Probably soon. It's
you asked me on.
It's not snowing. It's like 70 up there. You're right by Tarrytown, right?
Whatever.
Right where that horse came rocketing out of that tree stump. The headless horseman of Cold Spring.
There you go. I watched that the other night, Sleepy Hollow.
I love that, yeah.
I just love all that heavy, pretty...
Hit the button. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Okay, you're good.
That's okay. You swore.
I haven't listened to FMU in a while, and I love you guys.
Hey, man. That's it. Can you name dog breeds as I slowly turn you down?
Yes. Shepherd. Spaniel, Labrador, Setters,
Collie, Boston Terrier, French Bulldog.
Dusty Show, anybody there?
Hi, this is Janelle. I'm calling for Clay Show.
Janelle, how are you? This is Clay Pigeon.
Hey, Clay, how you doing, man?
Are you the Janelle I think you are? This is
I was listening to your show, and you're going, please, somebody call.
It's an old friend. Yeah.
Old friend of yours?
Oh, God, my old friend. Listen to this particular show when no one calls. Janelle, you're a great singer. Janelle was on VH1's Battle of the Bands thing. What was that show called, Janelle?
It was called Rock and Roll Fantasy this Camp.
Go ahead and
talk. Basically, it was a reality show, and basically cried all the way through. It was very humiliating.
Oh, really? It was that?
But I did my job.
Can I ask you something?
No. Don't change the subject. Because before you downplay that, Janelle, I want to say that your team won. Her team won.
Okay.
What they do, Fob, is they assemble bands. How would you describe it, Janelle? Like people who had been professionals, but maybe that dream hadn't quite come true for the big time or something?
That was exactly it.
Yeah.
It was like they wanted to get a group of people together of all ages who'd always wanted to rock and be on the big stage and never had the chance.
Huh.
Yeah, but the coach of Janelle's team was one of the Hudson brothers.
Oh,
Mark,
really?
Mark Hudson, right?
You know Mark? Do you guys ever run into him?
Sure. I mean, the Hudson brothers are a known commodity on WFMU.
Even I know them.
Yeah. So what was Mark Hudson like? What was it like to work with him? We see his dyed beard and his kind of crazy look. Was he cool?
He was mean.
He was mean? Really?
He was really tough and kind of mean.
That's going against character, isn't it, for them?
Yeah.
Because it's
but
like...
But you know what? Offstage, he was very nice.
He was offstage?
I think it was just he was just playing a role. He was trying to be Simon Phillips, and he did it.
And Simon Cowell.
Janelle, also, you encountered the singer, Brett Michaels. Was he nice from Poison?
Oh, yeah, Brett Michaels. Now, Brett's not like... He's not like a super... He's not like a giant intellectual or anything.
Really?
Not that I am. I mean, I'm a chick singer, so who am I to judge?
But
he was like extremely charismatic to where, you know, for instance, one afternoon we were really having a hard time on a set and everybody was really feeling down and Mark was yelling at us. It was just one of those bad days. And he came in. And I watched the guys, and after he split, I looked at the guy's face, and everybody in the band, their spirit was so uplifted. The guy's just very charismatic, and he uplifts people.
That's so cool. And your band was called Tugboat Circus. They gave the bands a name. So you guys look up online and see Janelle sing with Tugboat Circus. But beyond that...
I love your show, Clay.
Oh, thanks, Janelle.
Love it.
I want to say this. I'm not done with you yet, though. I want to say, Janelle, in addition to being a really nice person, also had a lot more success than a lot of us musicians from Tampa Bay ultimately did.
Oh, she's from Tampa?
Yeah, but she went out to Los Angeles. Uh-huh. I'm sure among many other accomplishments, just being a working musician night to night, you sang background with, among others, Donny Osmond and Nat King Cole's daughter, Natalie.
Natalie Cole.
Yeah, those are big gigs. Tell us about Donny Osmond. What was it like working with him, Janelle Sadler?
You know, that was my first gig. I got it right out of L.A. And at that time I was singing with heavy metal bands.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember them, Clay?
I don't know. You sang with
Crimson Glory
from Sarasota and Stranger. There was a lot of big hard rock bands from Brandon and Tampa.
I was rough around the edges. I was, you know, saying the F bomb at every turn.
Janelle, are you there?
Yes.
Are you wrong? Am I wrong in saying that you were probably at what was very famous Mora Sound Studios there in Tampa in the death metal era? Were you kind of a go-to background singer for them?
Back then, kind of. I'd worked my way up, you know, in that studio. Getting in that studio was a goal of mine. So the first gig there, I had to do sexy murmurings for some heavy metal album. And they said, "Can you do it?" And I go, "Yeah." I just went, that was my first gig.
Fabio was like, "Please do it
now." Did you sing on Crazy Horses?
I showed up, so I started working there.
Did you sing? Everybody here loves Crazy Horses. Did Donnie do that in his routine?
Not when I was with him.
That was an Osmond song. Was he trying to get away from the Osmond stuff?
Yes. This is a Soldier of Love tour, and it had, who was the guy? Peter Gabriel.
Really?
Worked with him on that record, and that
that's bizarre.
Extremely great record, yeah.
You know, say what you will about the Osmonds. From what I've seen of him on TV, and you worked with the man, he seems like a genuinely really nice guy.
He is. He was one of my favorite bosses.
Yeah, and he wore
super nice. No agenda, no weirdness with the management. No weirdness on, you know, with the MDs. I mean, it was a nice gig.
What about Natalie Cole? Tell us some Natalie stories.
Natalie, man, she was, well, I guess the one thing I could say about her was her charts were incredible. I was singing the most challenging stuff I'd ever sung in my life.
Do you mean like Sagittarius, Virgo, that kind of thing?
Yeah. Like, you know, like walking out on stage in Atlanta and I didn't know it was an orchestra date, and I've never sung with an orchestra before, and I walked out and was like, "Oh my God." You know, we were in a sea of violins and I'd never done it before.
It was
an amazing experience artistically, musically, and she was incredible every night. Even when she was not feeling well, you know, she was going through the early parts of her illness.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She still sounded great. Her energy was incredible.
Who else? Just real quick, Janelle, drop some names. Who have you known and worked with? However,
I worked with Chuck Rainey, the bass player from Steely Dan. I sang a couple of songs on his album with David T. Walker. And I sang with, I've sang backups with Michael Bolton, one-off, you know, Richard Marx. I served the Mamas and the Papas for years, all around Europe, all over the world. And
What was that? Mamas and the Papas what?
Yeah, I toured with them for years. It was John Phillips put together the band Mamas and the Papas after Denny passed away.
Yeah.
Oh.
And were you one of the other two women in the band? Yeah,
I played Cass.
Wow.
Oh.
I can see that. You have a great, great voice. You know what, Janelle? I'm going to let you go. Thanks so much for calling and for being on the show.
Great seeing you guys. I love the show.
Yeah, and how can we find you online, Janelle? You're not finished. You're still making music and very much involved in the music scene. How can we find you?
Janelle Sadler, Reverb Nation. Check me out. I just moved back to Tampa again to be near my family. So.
Well, I hope it's not the last time you're on the Dusty Show, Janelle. Thanks. I love you down there.
Thanks.
And give my best to
love you too.
Give my best to Robin and everybody.
I will.
All right.
Take care.
Bye bye. Isn't she nice?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's really lived it.
So you worked with her?
She was just one of the, other
the
people like in bands and yeah.
So you would cross paths.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But she's always stayed in touch. She's real nice to everybody.
Sure.
On the scene.
Yeah, I can
Bob,
see that.
I got a song. I know you've
You
stuck
got something
around.
To do.
I got a couple to get in here.
All right. Very good.
Oh, wait. You know what?
Carry on.
I'm going to pull an audible.
A what?
You remember that song, "I Alone Love You, I Alone Tempt You"? A band called Live. Came out in the grunge era, but they were from Pennsylvania. They didn't fit in.
From Pennsylvania.
Ed Kowalczyk or something like that. Big cult band. Yeah. And I'm going to play a track. I didn't want to play "I Alone" because, well, people have heard that one. Kirsten knew that one. I'm kind of stalling here trying to find what I'm doing.
Well, carry on.
Oh,
keep
thank
up
you,
the
Fop.
Good work.
You were a good sport to help me. I'm sorry it didn't turn into everything you wished.
I had no expectations.
Well, I know that you probably would have loved
no
to have
wishes.
Spent a little more on air
no,
time.
No, not really.
Yeah.
I was on my way out.
Love you, man.
All right, bye.
Tell the people you love them. Say the words.
Love who?
The
you?
Audience. The audience.
The audience. Oh, I definitely love the audience.
Say it. I love you guys.
I love you guys.
Mean it.
How do you know I don't mean it?
I can tell. I love you guys. It's like a
I'm not like you. I don't have, you know, like I don't put it all out there all at once, but
right.
They know how I feel. So.
This is called Lakini's Juice. A horrible title. Kick me some songs on the Acu that you love that have horrible titles. This is live.
It was an evening I shared with the sun to find out where we belong. From the earliest days, we were dancing in the shadow. More wine, 'cause I got time.
He's Yarling, says Marcel. Yarling, like Eddie Vedder, Lane Staley. You think so? Yarling? Sort of an East Coast Yarl. I like this. Did it again. I hit the wrong button. I sat there staring at the deck like the RCA dog with my head cocked like, is this the right one? And just to totally, probably in some minds, did you a favor by stopping the live song. I have to amend the playlist now. My fault. Enter. I saw Joe Duffy out in the hallways, been in the hospital. And it's so good to see him. It was a pretty serious little episode. He has something with the lung or something. Young guy, we were worried about him. Joe Duffy, welcome back to FMU. You guys welcome him on the Acu during Hardy's show. He'll be in here watching the board. So give Joe a shout, won't you? Welcome him back. I got another little something here for you. Strange show today. I hope you've enjoyed it. I always enjoy coming in here and being with you. Thanks to Fabio for sitting in, and Janelle Sadler for spending her time with us. That was an unexpected surprise and a pleasant one at that. Friday the 13th tomorrow. I hope it's a good day for you guys.
March. March.
What?
Yeah. Turn on the television.
No.
Lotto.
No.
Results are on.
You don't need to be playing that lotto.
Remember when we won?
Marv, that was 5 years ago.
We won $100.
Yes, yes.
Well, we did, damn it.
Since then, how much have you lost?
My luck's bound to change.
He thinks his luck will change.
It will change.
But it won't change. He'll go on losing.
No. I know my luck can change.
No, it won't.
Yes, well,
just stop.
I'll never stop.
Stop refusing.
I like playing lotto.
It's a terrible waste of time, honey. You could be raking the leaves.
Jesus.
Or painting the house.
Yeah. Turn on the television.
All right, maybe Udders is on.
You like that, Udders?
Yes, it reminds me of milking cows as a young woman.
Does it? But your daddy didn't own no cows.
I know.
So how'd you...
He had to sneak into the neighbor's barns late at night
and
discreetly milk the cows.
But that's dishonest.
I know. Years later, I still suffer from horrible guilt and shame.
Well, all of us do.
Really?
Honey, guilt and shame is my middle name. I was built to blame. Yes, I was bred for the pain that I feel in my heart when I hear your name. Guilt and shame.
I never feel guilt and shame. I never feel at all. There is a numbness.
Dumbness.
It is dumbness. It is not dumbness, Mark. Oh, and anyway, who's the smarter of us?
I am.
No, I am. Remember, you are sub-IQ.
Sub-IQ.
Yes, you don't even register on the charts. You don't even have an IQ.
But I...
Hawk.
Don't worry.
I love you. I love you just the way you are.
Yeah.
Fat, stupid, and lazy.
That's me. And I love you just the way you are.
Do you?
Fat.
What? Hey.
Crazy.
I am not.
Baby, when I see you with your red dress on, with a little bit of trim made of pink chiffon. Baby, when I see you in a little black boot, I start thinking about you in your birthday suit.
Honey, when I see you with your overalls on, I think dirty things and I know I'm wrong. Honey, when I see you sitting on the can, I shout to the world,
what I say?
That's my man.
Do ya?
My love has grown for you over the years, Mark.
Mine's about the same as always.
You don't love me more than you used to.
Well.
Oh, Marv, remember how it used to be?
No.
Marv, remember the county fair?
Oh, yeah. Last year, Bill Dice's hog won the blue ribbon.
No, the county fair where we met.
I thought we met at the Elks Club. Pancake breakfast.
Oh, Marv, you break my heart.
Do I?
Yes. We met at the fair.
Did we?
You were shoving quarters in the cranes. You banged your shovel off the glass.
You had a big astronaut toy that you'd won. That was the year man reached the moon. So much has changed.
Please, you haven't changed your overalls since the day we were married.
Well, you never ever shave your legs. They're incredibly hairy.
You just keep piling on the pounds with your taters and gravy.
No, I don't. I weigh the same thing that I did back in the Navy. I was the commander of a large group of sailors.
No, you swab the poop deck like an absolute failure.
I am not a failure.
You could have fooled me. You could have fooled me then.
I am not a failure.
But you can't fool me now.
Just remember, sometimes the cud chews the cow.
But sometimes the boar bores the sow.
But sometimes the dirt, it does the plow. It dulls the plow. Dirt dulls the plow. And you can't turn the earth. And sister, what are you worth? But pocket change.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope. In Rockland County at 91.9 FM. And online at WFMU.org. That's it for this episode of The Dusty Show, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Clay Pigeon here. Weekend ahead, I hope you enjoy it and that you'll come back again next Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern for another installment of The Dusty Show since 2005. Take care. And always remember,
hello, friend. Is this seat taken? I know what you're thinking. This isn't a seat. I assure you, I can make a seat out of anything. Did you know that kangaroos are born with a bar stool attached to their bottoms? Not literally, but they can use their muscular tails to lean back on, and they can sit on them like that. Now, if human beings could possibly coax their coccyx, the tip of their spine, to grow another 3 feet, they could make a sort of resting stick that they could then sit on, and they'd have a stool wherever they went. Wouldn't that be great? No, it wouldn't. It would make lines longer. They'd think, well, it's nothing to you to sit in this line. You won't get tired. And so they'll go for blocks like that. Oh, we don't want that. I'm glad there's not a big, long bone sticking out of my back. And I'm going to stop thinking about it right now. But I see that you're sitting here and waiting for something, maybe. Maybe you're sitting. Maybe you're standing. If you are standing, I must say you're smaller than I thought you'd be. But I really had no expectations at all. Do you mind if I keep you company? So I don't really need any company. Oh, you don't know you need something until a salesman comes around and shows you a sample case. And you say, well, maybe I do need that. I didn't realize how much lint I had on me until I saw a lint remover. And that's a good one, too. That's a nickel-plated handle on that lint remover. I'm packing one right now. I open carry my lint remover because I don't want to look like I just came from some lint festival or something like that. I'm not judging. I mean, the lint folks, they're good folks. And they get together enough of it, and you can make a sort of felt from it. Oh, my goodness. Some people are so resourceful. Not me. I rely largely on others. I go to stores and buy things ready-made. Except for candles, which I make from crayons. Did you know you can do that? Any kind of wax, really. I gather it up when I see it. I melt it down. No, don't do this. Just go buy candles. You're going to drive candle makers out of business if you start doing stuff your own, like I was smelting my own metal. Oh, not worth it. Not worth it. It's like growing your own tomatoes. Pointless. Who would ever do that? No, I like fresh-tasting things. And so I do a lot of my own metallurgy. I make my own pots. But by the time I do it, it takes me so long, and I expend so many calories, I wither and die. But I have the pot and nothing to put in it. Isn't that like life, isn't it? You think about that. I think it is. I'm just going to go on faith that it is. I don't reason things out anymore because I've got less computing power than I did. I find as I get older, my mind, it's slowing down. I wouldn't say it's slowing down. It's going at the same rate. It's not doing as much. Isn't that interesting? See, this car sounds like it's working, but I'm not going. I see on the speedometer I'm going 15 miles an hour, but the engine is revving. What's going on? It's my drivetrain. I realize that. It's the one thing they say, oh, we're not going to guarantee the drivetrain of your human body. Did you know that your body has a warranty? A lot of people don't even bother to go get it checked out. That's how little we care for ourselves. Say, I'm not even going to bother to send in the warranty card. And most parents don't even do it. And they get it at the hospital, and they just throw it away. They think it's some advertisement. They think it's a coupon for diapers. I think that's the first time I've said the A in diapers. I usually say diapers like that. I try to make things as short as possible because I got to get on with things. So I like to cram all my words into one word. Sometimes I just make sounds like that because it leaves me with more free time. Again, are we waiting? And I know that I've just imposed myself. I've got to be honest with you. It's me who needs the company. And I don't mind that you're not talking. I think that's best. That way I don't feel as self-conscious. You know, a lot of times if you're somebody who likes to open your heart, and I don't just open my heart to people, I just dump out my brains to them. I don't know why. And I don't pay attention. I'm not trying to self-aggrandize. I hope I'm not. If I make up some story about myself, it's either neutral or it's self-deprecating. I hope it is, except the one where I say I'm royalty. Maybe I should rethink that. I don't want to imply that I'm more important than I am. But sometimes I like to have delusions of grandeur just to reward myself from a crummy job or something. Say, well, you know, I might work at this horrible big box retail store, but in reality, I'm an emperor. Did you know on my free time, I go on the computer and I run a small country? It's like a lot of people do things like that. It's not a virtual world either. There's people in it. I need to get out there and visit them. I feel bad, or I feel badly, as they would say, in this island nation that I'm secretly an emperor of. You say, I think it has to be an empire for you to be an emperor. Well, we have aspirations. We're going to build our own, we're making some sandbars, and then we're going to say that's a country. And then we're going to have a symbolic invasion of something that there wasn't anybody there to begin with. But we got to make ourselves feel better. It's like getting something for free doesn't make you feel like you've gotten anything. But if you pay a little for it, you say, yep, I got it for a good price. And that's the way with this island that we're going to, it's just a pile of sand. But we're going to take our boats out to it. And we're going to dress up as warriors. Now, we've just started this nation so we can start from scratch and make our uniforms anything we want. We've all designed a hat differently. Mine is very large. I look like some kind of Turkish pasha or something from centuries ago. It just looks like a big, say, that looks like a giant orange on your head. And so I made it from fabric. And that's impractical in battle. Well, I don't know. What would be better? So yours looks like a derby, like a bowler hat. They said, yeah, but it's made of steel. See, I don't think that's good either. Also, I believe that they did that on the Beverly Hillbillies. I remember Jethro having a metal hat. Many funny things happened. Funny to us, of course, but they hurt Jethro. They hurt his head. Why is it that we laugh at pain in others? Or do we? I don't always. Mostly I go, oh, my goodness. Some of us laugh, I guess. We all have different reactions. We can't help our reactions sometimes. Do you ever laugh inappropriately? Like you're at a funeral or something like that, and someone's delivering a eulogy, and it's very sad, but then they say a joke, and everybody laughs, and then they go on, and then you laugh just a little bit late. So it's not super inappropriate, but it's just out of sync. Or it's a sad part. Here's a better example. It's a sad part, and then you just start giggling. Why? Because you're uncomfortable. What is your body saying? It starts giggling, and then you get the hiccups, or the hiccoughs, as they often call them. And you're hiccuping, and you're laughing, and then the body comes to life. And it starts dancing like that, and it's smiling, Why? Because you've brought it to life with your laughter, perhaps. We don't know how